And welcome back. Filling in, Matt Flynn Direct, Pizza Box Mike here. And I see we've got a call, so I'm going to go to Martina. Thanks for listening and calling.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I knew it was you. I said, hey, if this is who I think it is, man, she's really cool. And I'm glad you're still here, because we've lost connection, a lot of us, with, you know, the last 10 years that we put in.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me. Oh, COVID really bit us in the neck. But, hey.
COVID stopped me from recalling Ron Johnson, by the way. I had it all set up. We were going to recall Ron Johnson. COVID came, and I'm like, I can't do it. Go ahead.
I know. Well, I asked my, Mark Pocan, what do we do to get Johnson out? Anyhow, I'm not talking about Johnson today. I'm
right.
talking about the real culprit of 9/11. And the thing that causes me great grief, it is just really unfathomable to me that Christine Todd Whitman has gotten through unscathed, because she is one of the big culprits. She was the whore, excuse me, who allowed millions of people to believe that that air was safe to breathe. And so on her shoulders rests the burden of caring for all those people who are now dying of mesothelioma and equally terrible diseases.
Oh, I know. I can't even watch the. I can't watch any of the stuff. I have to just
tune
in.
But Mike, what I'm trying to say is 10 times the number of people have died since 9/11 because of 9/11.
Right.
And it's because of the doggone air that they breathe.
Right.
Because they believed the government. So what I would like to see is a big picture of Christine Todd Whitman and all the arrows of influences on her, like her Citicorp, her Wall Street connections, all that other crap, pointing to Christine, the influences on her, and also arrows coming out of the influence that she had, and how her agency alone in saying that that air was safe to breathe, when any idiot who saw the pyroclastic cloud and the dust, the pulverized concrete, going miles away, is not going to come from a building collapse. If we choose to believe that that 9/11 came, I'm not saying who did it or how they did it, but I'm saying you believe your lying eyes. There was a military air fight over at 9/11 right after the collapse, and it showed the cloud going miles away. You could see the doggone thing from space.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen when a building falls down, okay? And you don't see that with any other demolition. This thing was demolished to the nth degree. And we need to point that out. We need to point out that we sent lots of people in there. When I was in Kankakee, I was the director of emergency services for the Red Cross. And my buddy Ray Mathis, this was the last time I was called out for a job. I couldn't go, but Ray went, and Ray served coffee and sandwiches for the Red Cross at Ground Zero. He was there with the little truck every day at Ground Zero, and he said he wouldn't wear a mask because he didn't want to scare the firefighters and the other people who were working. Ray was one of the first to die of mesothelioma because he had gotten such a huge, massive dose of it. And he was the first Red Cross worker to be declared a victim of the 9/11 catastrophe. Excuse me, getting a little dry here. Ray was my buddy, and Ray died just within months after the collapse. So we need to point out that there's lots that we're not. You know, we can massage our emotions about never forgetting. Well, why don't we remember the people who are still living with terrible lung diseases? I'm in the old folks home now, over on the west side of Madison, in a very, very nice senior citizen's house. I really like it, and I'm having a great time here. It's the best time I've ever had in my life, and I'm
awesome.
Going to be 80 next year.
Right?
Hey, oh, it is. But I'm around, and I'm still kicking, and I'm still working. In the background, because of my own lung condition, I have idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis and all that stuff that goes with that. So, anyway, good talking with you.
Yes, thank you for calling. I'm going to let you know that you are one of my heroes. I'm not surprised that you're still living life the way you always have. I'm doing the same thing. And it is tragic because all the people that died that tried to help people. And I mean, when you saw people running away that had all that dust on them, I'm sure all those people are dead. I'm sure they all are. Like you said, that's just too big a hit. And watching the Republicans try to defund the aid for the firefighters and police, I can't understand why any cop or firefighter or even in the military would ever support Republicans. You guys need to change, man. Start voting on issues instead of personalities that are just awful. We used to elect people, you know, they had to be a certain look, right? Or, you know, they had to have a certain style. We're voting for people that are just useless. Scott Walker just posted the other day, oh, hey, look, we need to keep singing the national anthem, right? So he, you know, he wrote out all the different verses, and he started the damn thing with, say, can you see? No, I say you can't see, Scott Walker, but, you know, when one eye's higher than the other, right? You know, the only one time that he ever said anything to me, and I ruined that guy. Trust me, I ruined him when we went to Iowa with the Fight for 15, and the rest of the crew just tore him up after that. But me punking him from the crowd, and the dudes from Chicago holding up their signs, and you don't intimidate me. 0.0. Years later, whatever, he comes in, and he's coming in with all these young guys in suits scurrying around, and he looks at me and says, hi, Mike. And I looked at him like, what, you know, am I supposed to be scared that you, of course you know my name. And I just looked at him and I stroked my nose and said, orange nose. And all he laughed, dude. He laughed. I, you know, he knows that I know, that you know, that I know, that we know. Yes, Scott Walker, I know you are not very sharp at all. You know, I travel. He stole my story, man. Went to college for 8 years or whatever, didn't graduate, had a kid. But I paid for my kids because I got married. I didn't abandon my children. Well, one could argue my ex-wife. We'll be back.